At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Pinken.com Norwich City Podcast number 358. A happy Tuesday to you all. Welcome to Arch and Towers. My name is Michael Bailey. We have Chief Norwich City Correspondent Paddy David here with us. Hello, Pad.
Good afternoon, Michael.
Well, yeah, just about. I think it is. Our corresponding colleague David Freezer. Hey, Dave.
Long time no see.
Yeah, literally not. But it is with Tony, producer Tony, cameraman Tony. He's back from Norway and Norfolk and having a whole 2 weeks off. He looks sort of slightly glowing with a tan and thoroughly refreshed and makes me feel sick. Not at all, Tony. I hope you had a lovely time. Hello.
Ironically, the tan is from Norfolk.
Is it? Not Norway.
The last 2 days.
Well, you're a lucky boy, that's all I can say.
I just want to add, Norwich didn't win a single game whilst I was away, so...
And there was me pinning it on Emi Buendia. What they have done, Tony, is moved a point within a point of the Premier League. It's so exciting, but there we go. I can't bring myself to say it's all done yet. We will talk about the football in a bit. Tony's been away on holiday. He's said enough about that. We don't want to hear any more about that. How are you, gents? You all right? Refreshed after our vacation in Stoke?
Not been home yet, so no. No, I think I'm mainly looking forward to catching up on Game of Thrones because couldn't watch that because of Easter Monday, but did get a day off on Saturday, so I went and explored Sheringham Park, which is the first time I've ever been there, and that was very nice.
God, yeah. I was wondering when that was. It feels like we've just been in Stoke for a week.
TT's got his hand up.
Go on.
I just want to throw in, yeah, I was also at Sheringham Park, but on Sunday.
I went to make sure that I missed you. It is really good.
Sounds lovely. I'll take my family, providing they're all still alive. I don't know. I haven't seen them. Tad, how are you, Pad?
Yeah, looking forward to a beer in my garden later.
Should we just do that now?
Tony's got his hand up again.
Oh, Tony, come on now, man. Go on.
I was going to make a joke that I was in Paddy's garden, but I wasn't.
I love it. While we're away. Well, I think that's all a nice catch up. I think we all know where we are now after all that. Before we get stuck into the proper stuff, I'll remind you, as I do each podcast, you can get in touch with us here to share your thoughts, help set our agenda. Just email thepinken@archon.co.uk. Apologies if you have sent an email. I haven't checked that in the last week, but we'll pick it up next week, I'm sure. And of course, you can get in touch with us on all the usual social media profiles as well, our personal ones and Pinken. And of course, pinken.com/podcast is the place to be for all the details in terms of subscribing. We may be doing a slightly different, more relaxed maybe, or errant format for the podcast today, but we have still got the quiz book, haven't we, Pad?
Oh, yeah.
Shall we do that? We are going to do a podcast extra time. It'll be on the app for you to watch, so make sure you watch that after you've listened to this. But Pad, rattle us out a question from Football School, the amazing quiz book.
Absolutely.
Written by some... Who are they written by?
Alex Bellos, Ben Littleton.
Lovely. What a duo.
I'm not sure this book took two people to put together, but there you go. My hat is tipped. Right, yeah, no, we've gone good. We've gone good again. It's really, really coming out of itself, this book now. So, question for this week's pod is... Algeria's nickname is the Fennec... Apologies if that's not the pronunciation. Fennec foxes, which are small foxes that live in the Sahara. What is their distinguishing characteristic? And your options are... I know, it's a football-related question. Unusually large feet, good for walking on hot sand. Unusually large ears, good for losing body heat. Ears, body. Unusually large nose, good for poking down holes when looking for food. Or D, this is not a parallel podcast you have entered. Unusually large tail, good for brushing sand off their fur. They all seem pretty believable to me, all those four answers.
That's a great point, Pad.
Yeah, so, you know.
I mean, I've gone.
Am I awake?
Don't ask me to repeat them again.
Put the fox amongst the pigeons.
Large feet, large ears, large nose, large tail. To paraphrase.
We all wondered where it was going.
Tony says feet.
I did sort of zone out during the question. So
that's the only one you remember, isn't it? He's still thinking about Norway.
Got a bit, convoluted, didn't it? But
I was thinking ears.
I'll ask the question again. Algeria's nickname is the Fennec Foxes, which are small foxes that live in the Sahara. What is their distinguishing characteristic? So, distinguishing characteristic.
Oh,
feet, ears, nose, tail. There, I've abbreviated it.
I was thinking ears, and then I was going to go nose. Dave, just say a word.
I'll go nose.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
All will be revealed in ET.
What? Yes, exactly that. Extra Time Pinking app. Download it if you haven't already. Google Play or the App Store. There's so much more gold. Just like that, really. Okay, that was the week that was. We've had two games, two draws, two draws. Norwich have led in both. Only came away with 2 points. We were all getting a bit twitchy, weren't we, at 5 o'clock on Easter Monday up at Stoke. And then the sun came out and everything was well again. And all of a sudden, from really jitters, real jitters, it's basically done. What a position we're in. We all look absolutely shattered. Give me some words.
Yeah, that was, even by Norwich's standards this season, that 2 hours or so from the final whistle against Stoke to Sergi Canos smacking in a second to sink Leeds, that's a random period of time in this season. And in the final analysis, yeah, as you say, elation from the ashes of despair, because, I mean, all joking aside, full-time whistle, you've got Norwich players dropping to the ground. They're absolutely spent. And it's not just exhaustion. I think it was a sense that they've absolutely blown a massive opportunity to have led twice and got pegged back twice. Then I'm sure news would have swiftly filtered through. Sheffield United have done the business at Hull rather more comfortably than Norwich were able to do. And then you know that Leeds fresh from a really, really poor home defeat to Wigan. 10 men, 75 minutes. They missed a penalty as well on Good Friday. You've got to assume Leeds are going to bounce back at Brentford, do the business, and then Norwich would have had two Yorkshire clubs firmly breathing down their neck and 4 games without a win, albeit 4 draws. So, yeah, that seemed to be the sense, certainly from the Norwich players, or a good few of them anyway. And when you've got your head coach on the pitch lifting them up as if, you know, they've just lost a cup final or whatever, to go from that to without Norwich having to kick another ball to go to that to effectively you're up. I know the reality is they still need a point, but we all know the situation now. The 6 points clear of Leeds, 10 goals better off, 2 games left. Norwich are in the Premier League. But obviously, you know, nobody inside the club certainly will portray it as that this side of Blackburn, because they still are not mathematically up. But I think the key was, you know, we were obviously there working away just in the shadow of the Britannia, the Bet365 last night. And just the gauge of social media, Dave did the fan reaction story, and literally from, you know, fans fearing the worst after the game to the Brentford result, and then it was just literally waves of emotion and waves of relief rather than emotion, and just a sense that the job's done now, which, just an amazing 2 hours, really.
And it's funny that Sergi Canos, a main player in the story, I joked to you, didn't I, Mark, when we were sat in the press room in the stadium, that that would be a good story, wouldn't it? Sergi Canos did it, and then he not only sets up the first one, but scores the second. So all of a sudden, he's a Norwich legend for a night. Thank you very much, Sergi, because that, yeah, it's just been totally transformative, and hopefully will be for the players as well. Hopefully, you know, Jamal Lewis, for instance, and wasn't the only one. As much as they all dropped to the turf at the end, they looked pretty knackered for the second half. It was an emotionally draining few days, I guess, and games as well. You know, the Reading game was such an emotional roller coaster. Wigan with the 5,000 fans there, they had to fight to get a draw against difficult opponents there. Sheffield Wednesday, of course, again emotionally so draining. Rancic scoring that last gasp free kick, and then to that as well. We won't find out until 7:30 on Saturday night, but I suspect that will have just lifted the weight of the world from the players, because they now know that it's literally there to just grab it, to finish on a high, get the win that they need, and then they're in the Premier League, and all that good work they've done. What are they on, 88 points?
Yes.
You know, just because it feels fraught at the moment and a little bit difficult because it's four successive draws, they've done so much good stuff up to this point. It's a long old season, isn't it? So hopefully they can go and express themselves again and just give it one last push.
Exactly. You imagine there's going to be a somewhat release of pressure on them, which is, of course, quite an exciting prospect for Blackburn. I mean, it's worth bearing in mind, Norwich are 12 games unbeaten. They haven't had an unbeaten run like this in the top two tiers since 1989, I think. So it's phenomenal, really. And as you say, Dave, this is about having put a lot of hard work in to have given them the buffer so that, you know, what have been some pretty decent results, probably bar the Reading game, in their own context, decent results, maybe just a little bit disappointing in the situation they've been in. But you can't deny with the grit and determination that the side has had. I mean, I built the game up at Stoke thinking in my head, look, this is it. If they win this, it's done. If they don't win it, this could be hairy, because I just did not see Leeds losing at Brentford. And ultimately, that's quite the blow-up that I'm sure will have been talked about lots outside these walls. We don't need to talk about Leeds, per se. I guess in terms of where Norwich are, do we still think they'll win the title? I know it's a difficult discussion, really, isn't it, to have? Because ultimately, the main aim was simply to go up. It seems surreal even still that we're having this discussion, given where we all thought this season would be at the start of the season.
To twist it, if Norwich had won at Stoke and they hadn't conceded the equaliser from Edwards, that Leeds defeat would have meant that promotion was definitely sealed, while we sat round a table in a Holiday Inn in Stoke and while everybody else was driving home. So what's better, win at Carrow Road against Blackburn, get it sealed, or move? Then you're then on the verge of the title as well. It could even be the title if Sheffield United somehow managed to not win against
Ipswich. That would be 5 or 6-0, that one.
So I would be incredibly shocked. But still, it would need a goal difference swing again, wouldn't it, to deny them the title? So they just need a point at Villa. So in a way, maybe this is better. Now, everyone can head to Carrow Road full of the joys of spring, looking forward to what could be a very memorable night.
Yeah, I mean, for me now, if they beat Blackburn Saturday, they win the title, because I think they would then bounce to Villa Park and they would get, if they need a point, subject to what happens in the Sheffield United game against Ipswich. But I think we can assume that's going to be 3 points. So I just think the release and the knowledge there, no longer is it mathematical, this, that, the other. You've done it. You're in the Premier League, lads. You've got one game left to win a title. And then it's like Daniel said when he was talking about anybody, Buendia's missing potentially one, or if you play for a club like Norwich as opposed to Man City, you get one or two shots in your career at winning a title. And this is one of them. So, and conversely, we've not even talked about Villa, but the reality is Villa go to Leeds this weekend and then they finish with Norwich. They're in the playoffs. We don't think they can probably move too much in terms of their positioning in the playoff pack. So they might not exactly rest a load of players on the final day, but they certainly won't be putting it in, because they know they've got two huge games, possibly against West Brom, to come up. So for those reasons, I think Norwich could get a point they need at Villa Park. But if it's all about beating Blackburn. If they beat Blackburn, the door is unlocked to A, the Premier League, and also the title.
And while I'm sitting there asking you all, will Norwich actually win the title? How much will they miss out? Blah, 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 etc. Let's just spend the next few minutes just giving our first, because we're going to probably do this quite a lot over the coming weeks. How monumental this is as an achievement, Paddy, in terms of this group of players, the transition. We've spoken about it so much, of course, in terms of its progress. But at this point, Norwich City as a Premier League club having done what they've done is just unreal, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you boys can talk in a broader context with your fan hats on from you know, years and years of supporting the football club, but in my time, being around them sort of the last 15 years or so, I think it's the biggest achievement by far, absolutely. You know, Alec Neil picked up a group of players who weren't performing and took them on this unbelievable six-month journey at this level that culminated in a very comprehensive and hugely enjoyable day at Wembley in 2015. There's been other promotions, even the Lambert years, but, you know, I just think, as you say, from the conditions from which this has been engineered, it would beg a belief. You wouldn't believe it if you weren't actually living it and seeing it, and it's a huge testament. And again, Nathan Jones, the Stoke manager, effusive in his praise about Norwich's model, Norwich's approach, Norwich's finding an identity, dealing with the fallout from losing all the Premiership parachute money, and yet that they've engineered this, as I say, quite remarkable state of affairs that is going to end with them in the Premier League. And you know, if you've got long lines of Championship rival managers queuing up to say how good it is, then take them, because they're in the game, they know how tough it is. It's not for us to really opine about it if their contemporaries are saying this is absolutely remarkable and we need to try and emulate this. Then, you know, it's something quite special.
And it makes me think of Paul Cook as well after the Wigan game, saying, you know, Norwich, they'll get their plaudits, that will happen, it will come.
Yeah, I suppose everyone looking from outside to in didn't have to worry about nerves and things like that, and how they got over the line. It was just a case of they would, because those points are in the bag. You know, another point yesterday, you look at it objectively, and drawing at Stoke away from home is usually a good point, and they were pretty good second half. But yeah, to go from 14th to hopefully automatic promotion, unless something very odd happens from this point, is incredible. You know,
fan in your day, follow up.
Yeah. Until it's done, you just can't say it, can you? So yeah, but I'd be very incredibly shocked if they didn't get a point in one of these two games. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the history and stuff, obviously the club has achieved greater things than this. You know, late 80s, early 90s, they finished in the top five three times. You know, they've been to UEFA Cup and things like that. But at this level, in the second tier, I think to go from 14th to, touch wood, hopefully winning the title, at least going to automatic promotion, is certainly up there with what Worthington managed with the 2004 boys when they had Huckabee, etc. And to do it with such style as well has been great. It is a shame they've tightened up a little bit and haven't quite finished with the panache that they deserve, really, because when they sort of swept to the top of the table in October, November time, and they were playing such brilliant football, you know, winning 4-1 at Swansea, 4-0 at Sheffield Wednesday, showing so much character as well as playing such good football, it's a shame that they're sort of having to work so hard to get what they deserve, because they should be winning the title. They are the best team. The only team who can rival them when they're at their peak in this league really is Leeds, and they've choked, haven't they? Sheffield United have been unbelievably consistent to get ahead of Leeds, so it would just be great to finish on the high that they deserve, because it doesn't matter too much as long as they get there, but you don't really want to limp across the line, do you? You don't want any risk to the momentum as you go up to the Premier League, because they're deserving of more than that. So all in, all on black in terms of, if you put it in roulette terms, just go for it, go for all out, go for the jugular, got to get that win against Blackburn. What that will mean in terms of a scoreline, I do not know, but yeah, let's finish on a high.
Top stuff, Dave. For the record, we're not going to ask about what happens next year or the summer, because that is one for another day, most definitely. But we will do the gongs of the week, if we can quickly think of some off the top of our heads. Tony, obviously, more than welcome to chip in if there was someone who, you know, shone while you were in Norway. Big Duncan Forbes, Hero of the Week. Bearing in mind, we've obviously got the Sheffield Wednesday game, and I mean, shall I say Mario Francic and us all nod?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not just that as well. I mean, it was his assist for Pukki at Stoke on Easter Monday. So gorgeous. He's had a very, very influential Easter. No two ways about it.
Yeah, I'm perfectly happy with that. Great free kick on Friday night.
Well, God, wasn't it? What a moment. And that's crucial, isn't it, in the grand scheme of things. Kevin Muscat, villain of the week.
Who's
I think there's a fairly obvious candidate.
Oh, well, you have to remind me.
Wears black, goes by the name of Eltringham.
No. But yeah, and we've never seen. Have you seen Daniel that angry as he was on Good Friday? Because I can't remember.
No, he's on fire.
Oh yeah,
he was on fire. Not literally, but metaphorically. Yeah, no, he was. That was the straw that broke the proverbial, I think. And some feat when you basically hack off both rival managers. You know, you've had a good night at the office when both managers are not happy with your work.
Which was interesting the way he dealt with that, because I'm sure I still maintain there was an element of the situation that was coming out of all that as well. And I was kind of interested to see how he dealt with the post-match interviews and press conferences after the Stoke game, because at that point, obviously, that was tetchy. But he was back to his usual calm self, wasn't he, in fairness?
Yeah, he wasn't going too deep. he was very measured yesterday, Monday. But no, he was, yeah, that was, it had been under the surface. I mean, after the Wigan formal presser on Good Friday, I know I'm losing track, this weekend before, sorry, which was obviously the penalty against Ben Godfrey, for anybody who's forgotten or chosen to forget. After his formal presser, I had a brief chat with him, and he was more or less on the same theme, that he just couldn't understand why they were getting such a raw deal on such a consistent basis, weaving in obviously the Buendia QPR three-game ban, and so he was ticking, I think it's safe to say, but that definitely tipped him over the edge, Mr. Eltringham's performance.
Go on then, Dave, do you want to give us a Simeon Jackson moment of the week? Obviously the Simeon Jackson moment of the week becomes more and more pertinent given the situation we're in, but Mario's free kick again, I suppose, possibly, unless you can think of something lovely. I mean, great sight obviously with all those fans at Stoke for starters.
Yeah, from the two games in these 4 days, you just can't look beyond it, can you? I mean, it's funny, actually, Pad sort of pointed it out while they were warming up at Stoke. Mario was practising his free kicks again,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Sorry, what were you going to say there, Dave?
Yeah, you go for it, because you pointed out to me.
Well, I was going to broaden that out. Yeah, basically what happened was they, as they do at Carr Road, they sort of erect temporary goals, don't they, away from the main two goals, and the 11 will practice and then the subs will practice, and Mario, yeah, exactly, more or less the same yardage, and he was right in front of the away support just by the tunnel there at the Bet365, and he was whipping them, and I watched him hit four on the bounce. He didn't get one in the net, so it just underlines, you know, when the pressure was on. But what was my anecdote there was, then after he'd missed four, Charlie Adam, who was just running back to the tunnel, who was on the bench for Stoke, and is not a bad dead ball deliverer himself, he literally stopped, and he attempted, because Vrančić was about to hit one, and he hit Vrančić's free kick. And then obviously we're many, many miles away up at the back of the stand, but you can read between the lines of body language with Charlie Adams saw hand signals. It was almost like, that was an unbelievable free kick, mate, kudos to you on Friday night, because they shook hands and then he was off down the tunnel. So I just thought, yeah, you know, that was some free kick, and if actual quality midfield operators in their time, you know, played for Liverpool in his day, if they can appreciate it, and it was just that mutual sort of respect, I thought that was nice to see. But yeah, as I say, you know, 4-0 he was against Stoke, yeah. So he maybe just saves them for when it matters.
Yeah, all fair play. It was the moment of the week, that was probably moment of the season, as good as any, really. And obviously we're not going to talk about Stephen Fletcher's handball. Right, I think we're going to call it there. We're going to rattle off a few look-aheads, of course, to Saturday's game, Norwich hosting Blackburn. We're going to do that on the Pink and Norwich City podcast Extra Time, which you can get on the app. We'll also have the answer to the remarkable question Pad has dug out of the quiz book. Look forward to that. And I think that pretty much does it. But of course, as for this podcast, thank you as always for listening. Remember, pinken.com is the best place for you in terms of Norwich City news, analysis, opinion and insight. A big thanks to you for listening. Thanks to you, Pad. Cheers.
Cheers, Bob.
Cheers, Dave.
Roll on Saturday.
Indeed. Cheers, Tony.
Thank you.
We will be back set to answer all that question. In the meantime, here's to maybe getting out a few party poppers. We'll see. Don't go too soon. Until then, good night.
At Ability Chiropractic, They do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.